This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, it's Thursday lunchtime, which can mean only one thing, when I get to talk to the Chelsea legend that is Kerry Dex Dixon. How are you, Kerry?
I'm fine, thank you, Dave.
Good stuff. So, no doubt after, I have to say, mate, a win that, surprised both of us, if I think back to what we were saying last week. Neither of us predicted that Chelsea would win, I think, in the end, so easily, really. 3-0, I don't think, flattered us at all, really. What do you think?
No, I think it was quite emphatic. And I have to be honest, I had doubts about certain games. And, I started to think that after the first 10, 15 minutes, Everton sort of flattered to deceive a little bit. They looked threatening, but didn't really test the keeper too much. And, Lukaku, we spoke about him and Costa, how it would pan out. Was never really a match. Lukaku never really got into it. You were right with what you said about, he doesn't do so well against Chelsea and there are horses for courses, that old analogy. It all came right. So much for a difficult game. Chelsea approached it absolutely magnificently. I think the goals were great. They were comfortable winners. And, it just makes you think, you hedge your bets and you start to think about this team, or I have, since we've been doing the show and you look at the games and so on. No one saw Palace defeat coming, and we go away at Manchester United. We expected a sort of a board draw. In the end, we end up getting beat. And then no one, you go away, you're a bit sceptical, and they win quite comfortably. They're a strange side, but they're a side that's going to win the league. They really are. Not strange is a bit unfair. I mean, I've said all season, the spark usually comes from Hazard and Costa, and invariably that's where it does come from. But Pedro to pull that goal out, it's a worldie. And the team just followed on from that. It was a comfortable win, and everyone playing their part, of course, like they have done all season.
Absolutely spot on with all of that. I think there's an awful lot in there, Kerry. I'll try and unpack a bit of that. Just firstly, actually, because we did spend a little bit of time talking about Lukaku and Costa last week, and I have been harsh on him in the past, and I think you've kind of given the other side of that whenever we have talked about him. I think one thing became a lot clearer to me Sunday was the fact that he really didn't get any decent service. But of course, this is a brilliant question to ask for you, because you of all people will know the answer. Is that a valid excuse? Or, if you really want to be a world-class striker, can should you not just sit there and go, well, I didn't get the service? I mean, is it a valid excuse?
Well, let me try and explain, because people talk about world-class striker, great striker, or whatever. He's world-class in the fact that he's scoring for his national side on a fairly regular basis. He's scoring for his domestic side on a regular basis. World-class. What he is, I'd say he's a world-class goal scorer. And you have to separate a goal scorer from a striker. You know, there's people who are renowned for their goals. I always say that a good striker is guts on his goals. When you look back at pairings, it's how many they get as a pair, who does what, and you talk about creativity, and you look at the team. Every goal scorer needs chances created for him. His art is being in the right place at the right time, but the ball has to be there as well. The ball has to be in and around these areas. And if it's not, it's hard for a goal scorer, not always, because they can make it happen from nothing themselves, but not on a regular basis. You know, the Lionel Messi's, the Cristiano Ronaldo's can do these things. But people who are termed as goal scorers, generally they're strikers, but they're within the striker genre, if you like. You break it down and you look at your Mark Hughes's, who's a good all-round striker, wasn't renowned for his amount of goals. People say, was Mark Hughes a good striker? People say, great striker. People say, was Gary Lineker a good striker? People say, great striker. But he was a great goal scorer. No, you didn't see him doing too much link-up play, chasing fullbacks, running all over the place, battering centre-halves. No. But he got his goals. And, you know, the whole idea of what is Lukaku, you take the package if you're going to buy him. And you know what you're going to get. And you'll be looking at people like in and around your team, like a Hazard, like a Fabregas, who can create chances for him or put balls in areas that he will thrive. If you do that, Lukaku gets goals. Everton didn't create much.
Well, you know,
like I said earlier, they flat to deceive. Sorry, I'm telling you to go on again. They got to the final third and seemed to run out of ideas. Don't necessarily blame Lukaku for that. That's because Chelsea were the better side.
Well, I mean, that's exactly kind of why, you know, I asked that question and brought it up like that, because it kind of occurred to me that, you know, maybe I have been a bit harsh on him and, you know, put him in a decent side like Chelsea with players who are going to create chances for him, then I suspect he will put them away because he can clearly finish when he gets the chance. I mean, you know, the one kind of chance he had, he wasn't far away. And you know, I was watching it at home and they had Thierry Henry doing the punditry and, you know, he wasn't a bad player. And he said, you know, he didn't expect him to score from that chance. You know, if he'd have scored that, it'd have been a cracking goal. So, you know, he's clearly got an eye for a goal. And I think if we do sign him, and, you know, it looks more and more likely that Costa may well be going off to China, maybe he will produce the goods for us. But all of that will be revealed in good time, won't it? You know, you mentioned another player, actually. Now, you know, this predates us doing the show together, but last season I gave Pedro quite a hard time saying that he wasn't really, you know, he just wasn't up to the physical challenge of the Premier League. But I think this season he's possibly been one of our most surprising and most improved players, I think. And as you said, Kerry, what a worldie that was. But, I mean, it really does make a difference, doesn't it, when you've got a lot of players in the team that are capable of scoring goals like that or contributing. And I think Pedro kind of underlines that, doesn't he?
Well, if you go back a couple of shows, you know, and you were questioning, not you necessarily, but people were raising the question about Diego Costa and he's in a goal-scoring drought. I said that, you know, don't worry about the drought, but the team shouldn't suffer because he goes a few games without scoring a goal. But there should also be a situation where other people need to chip in. You know, the team shouldn't suffer because one person doesn't get a goal. They have to chip in. It's as simple as that. And, you know, on quite a few occasions, other people have started to chip in. William's come in. And there's been this battle continually between William and Pedro as to who starts and who doesn't start. But when they both started, or when they both played, invariably, they both chip in. So that's what it's got to be. And that's the way it is. That's why Chelsea will be champions at the end of the season, for all of them reasons. And I'm just going back on the Lukaku thing to finish off. Great strikers, not so great strikers. At the end of the season, you look at what you've got, where your team is and so on. Have you contributed to the team and why? Have you done your bit? How many goals have you got as a striker? That's the thing that I always say. If you're going to get transferred, you hand it in your CV, manager looks at it, and the opposition club and the buyers look at it. You're buying a striker. How many goals does he get? And if you don't get so many goals, what does he offer the team? If he doesn't fit any of the criteria, why are you looking at him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's absolutely spot on. You know, if you're a striker and you've scored 20, 25 goals, nobody's going to remember what kind of goals they were or what happened in the game. So they're just going to remember the fact you scored 25 goals. And who's not going to want somebody who can score you 25 goals in their team? It's simple, isn't it? I think it's really interesting also what you were saying about spreading it around. And I read some really interesting stuff this week, actually, saying that, you know, in the last 10 years or so, when we had the likes of Frank Lampard playing for us, you know, we perhaps got a bit complacent because, you know, if your striker didn't score a goal, you knew Frank would turn up with a goal and bail you out. I mean, he scored a rate that most strikers would be proud of. But I think, you know, you're right. I'm far more comfortable with, and I think it's far healthier to have, you know, four, five, six players who are all capable of scoring goals and chipping in. And that's what I like about this team, even though they are a bit strange. And, I have to say, Kerry, even now, and I mean, a lot of people after winning against Everton said, well, that's it. We're going to win it. Even now, I won't say that until it's done, because I don't know if it's not as if I don't trust this team. But I mean, you know, remember when that first Mourinho team surfaced, when we were 1-0 up, you knew you were going to win. You could go home. I mean, it was done. I still sometimes get this feeling that anything can happen with this team. In a sense, that makes it quite an interesting watch. But as a supporter, you're still sitting on the edge of your seat going, oh, my God, what's going to happen? I mean, is that kind of what you mean about strange?
I think it's a case of me and you role reversal. I mean, you look at the start of our show when I used to say, I used to be the pessimistic one and think, no, it's not over, it's over. And you used to say, well, we're a good side, we're going well, top of the league, this will happen, that will happen. Like talking like a proper supporter, I might add. You know, supporters believe we're a good side, we're going to win, and so on. I'm, you know, an ex-pro and sceptical about how games go, and, you know, respect for opposition, no matter who they are, and so on. I'm not saying you don't have that, but as the shows have gone on, you've become a little bit more sceptical about certain games. You thought, what have they got, the opposition? And after that Everton game, I'm afraid I've become the supporter, if I weren't already, and I've decided we've won the league as well. And I will say it now. I think that we're on the way to winning. If you tell me we go away and win at Everton, and then we look at our home games and, you know, we can't win them, I'm not buying it. I think we're champions, and we're champions elected. It's a case of which game we do it on.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, look, you know, I've been watching Chelsea a long time. So, you know, I there's a great friend of both of ours, Mark Worrell, coined a term many years ago called glorious unpredictability. And anybody who's followed Chelsea for 30, 40 years knows exactly what we're talking about. But at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, you know, we've got four games left. Three of them are at home. We need to get three wins if one presumes that Spurs win all of theirs. I'm still not convinced that that will happen. I mean, I think they've got a very tough match tomorrow night against West Ham. I also think the Leicester match will be a tricky match for them because they're back on the kind of form we saw from them last season. And Man United, you never know what will happen with that. So, you know, I still think that Spurs might drop points, which, as you said, then comes a question of, well, when will we win it? Which match will it be? Not if we will win the title. So I think I'm going to ask you the question, you know, you can answer this one of two ways, Kerry, depending on how you feel. One, where will we win it? Or two, where could it all go wrong?
Well, you look at the games and you think, what have we got? I expect us to beat Middlesbrough. Sunderland being the last. In the meantime, you don't know. You've got to look at what game Tottenham are playing at the same time and who plays first, who plays second, to actually work out an idea as to where. You know, you could say Chelsea, well, it's in our own hands. In the order we win it, provided it's in our own hands, we've got Middlesbrough, and correct me, or you put me right on the next two, the order. We go, we'll be away, and then we go home the last two. Is that correct?
We've got Borough on Monday, and then we've got West Brom away the following Friday, then Watford away the following Monday, and then Sunderland. Yeah, Brom away next Friday. That's the only away game.
Yeah, I know that, but we go home, away, and we finish with two homes. So, listen, as it stands, provided it's in our own hands, we win it at Watford, at home to Watford. You know?
Right.
You said we need to win three games, which we do. If we win this one, can it go wrong at West Brom? If we drop a point, all that does for me is it pushes it back to Sunderland, as you've already said, providing Tottenham keep winning all their games. Depending what Tottenham do, my guess and my gut feeling would be we could win it. We'll win it at home to Watford.
Okay. Well, I mean, we shall see. Obviously, I mean, I think obviously if West Ham, turn up, on Friday night, which, their rivalry with Spurs is up there with our rivalry with Spurs. So one hopes that they'll certainly turn up, which is more than Arsenal did last Sunday. But they're not in good form. So that's why I'm saying I think Leicester and Man United are probably the best bets to see Spurs lose some points. So that being the case, I think you're right. If we're going to win it, it seems like it'll be Watford. Because, of course, if we win against Borough and West Brom and Watford, then there's nothing Spurs can do. We've won the title. So get the cigar ready for Monday week is the advice there. Now, before we get to that, of course, we should talk about the Borough game, because that is, of course, what we're kind of here to do, and it is next Monday.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
The first thing I'm going to say, and I don't want to get dragged down into a moan about refs, but I thought John Moss was pretty poor in the Everton game. I mean, it didn't have any ramifications. But, of course, it does bring to mind, when I say, well, what could go wrong? Well, one thing that could go wrong is you get a really appalling ref who makes some absolute ricks of decisions, which can cost you a game. And apparently we've got Craig Pawson lined up for the match against Borough, and he was the ref for the Arsenal City Cup semi-final, and he made some horrendous decisions in that match. So is that the kind of thing that would worry you, a ref making a few duff decisions?
Well, it always worries you because you want every game on level playing field, but the trouble is there's human beings who are in charge, the same as the human beings are playing, and we're all prone to error at times. I would say, whatever it's going to be, whatever it's going to be. If a ref makes an error, we've got to get on with it. We've got to overcome that. If you're talking about he gives him a penalty or sends one of ours off for no reason or something like that, then we have to overcome. Champions overcome these things. People, winners overcome difficult things. And, Chelsea will have to overcome that. If you ask me, are we one goal better than Middlesbrough at home? I would say, no problem. We could afford a penalty against us. Can we play them with 10 men without any disrespect? They're a very defensive unit, don't concede a lot. But goodness me, they're close to going down. We're close to being champions. We're at home. I would say we could play them with a man less. So, and still win, I'm talking about. That probably gives away my prediction for the end of the show, if indeed that be the case. But yeah, there is always a case of a bad refereeing performance and a few decisions go your wrong way and a few players off form. But as I say, the winners are judged over the season. I'm quite happy where Chelsea are. It's in their own hands. We just got to go with it.
You know, I think I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I think the other thing is that when you see the reaction of Antonio Conte and the players after that Everton match, I think that they knew that that was the toughest fixture we had left. And I just think that in a sense that might lessen any nerves they might have been having about going into the last three or four matches. So perhaps they might play with a bit more freedom. And I think the other thing to note when we're playing against Borough, I mean, our record and their record, well, the record against each other is ridiculous. I mean, we've won our last six against Borough without actually even conceding a goal. We're the highest Premier League scorers. They're the lowest Premier League scorers. So, you know, I think if as we are getting into the prediction, if you're going to predict anything, it's hard to really see beyond, you know, a healthy, comfortable win for Chelsea against Borough on Monday night.
Yeah, well, you know, if any team's going to come and say park the bus or something, it will be Middlesbrough. They'll try. They'll be grateful for anything. A point would be a huge win for them. You know, a point. They would be expecting nothing out of this game. The long journey down. My guess is they'll be working, not looking to push many men forward, get men behind the ball. And it's going to be a case of we need to break them down at some stage early. To set the tone, if that be the case, they will have to come out and change their policy. If they come out and play open attacking football, which I don't think is in their repertoire, then Chelsea, I believe, will give them a 3 or 4. I really do.
Yeah.
I can't really see anything other than that. If we fail to break them down and they dig in for the first half, the crowd will be a little bit itchy. They will get a little bit more confident and so on. But I still think we've got far too much. And like you, if we get an early goal, I think we could give them 3 or 4. If it's a little bit longer, I think it'll be at least 2.
But again, like I said, I think that the confidence is very, very high with Chelsea at the moment. I think that was helped by beating, well, first Spurs the other week, then Southampton at home, and then Everton finally. And I think that was a massive win for them, and they knew it. So yeah, you know, as always, I think an early goal will help, but I can't see us doing anything other than beating Middlesbrough comprehensively. I think they'll be down as well because they were really unlucky not to get a result against City. And I mean, even though they aren't technically relegated yet, they're you know, I just wonder how much fight they'll have, Kerry. I mean, you know, a team that's not technically been relegated, you would expect to come with a lot of fight. And as you said, do everything they can to get a point. But I mean, I just wonder what their mentality will be, knowing they've got to go to Chelsea, who are probably going to be champions, and trying to get a result.
Well, if they've got anything about them, I mean, they'll be playing for whatever support comes down from Middlesbrough on a Monday night to the home of the champions, expecting nothing in a long way. They'll do their utmost. You always say, as supporters and people, you know, you should be proud to wear the shirt, and you know, the supporters who follow you that period, that length of the country, you get out there and do your best. Whether it be good enough or not, supporters will recognise that. They still might get a beating, and that might be their best, but supporters will know, and these supporters will continually be there. And from that respect, I imagine they'll go out there and fight. Well, they should do if they've got anything about them.
Yeah, and of course, I mean that is the one area of concern, because I think, you know, if you look at that Everton match, I was surprised actually. I wasn't there, but a lot of mates who were, and they said they were surprised about how flat Goodison Park was, because normally it's a real cauldron there and very, very noisy. But you know, I think, as you well know, quite often what happens on the pitch affects what happens in the stands and vice versa. And in a sense, what do they have to play for? You know, they know they're going to be in Europe next season. They know they're not going to make the top four. So perhaps their foot was off the gas a bit. Whereas Middlesbrough, as you said, they may well be scrapping for their lives and they may turn up. So, you know, whilst we can sit here and say we expect Chelsea to win by, you know, 3 or 4, there's always that chance that they might turn up and make it hard for us.
Yep, don't doubt that for one moment. There is that chance. And if they make it hard for us, it'll be 2.
Top stuff. Brilliant. Okay, mate, well, let's nail those colours to the mast on Borough. We've got a couple of other things to talk about after we've done that, but I mean, I'm going to go for 3-0. I have a suspicion you're going to go for something similar.
touche, 3-0. So anyone listening, and we have been pretty much near the mark for the majority of the season. Take Everton out. We haven't been far away, me and you. So 3-0.
Yep. Okay. Well, we'll stick for that. Now, there's a couple of other things I want to talk about. I mean, I know there's an awful lot of rumours floating around, but the first thing I want to talk about is Tammy Abrahams, because, you know, it being that you were a striker, you'll have some empathy with what's going on with him. But, of course, one of our youth players, he's been out on loan at Bristol City all year, and he's had a superb season. I mean, he's the second highest goal scorer in the Championship with 23 goals. He's only 19. He's been scoring those goals in a team that are down the bottom end of the table. So I think that makes it even more noteworthy in many respects. We're likely to lose Costa. We may well be getting Lukaku. Antonio Conte may well have a few other favourites from former clubs that he might have his eye on. And I'm just wondering where this leaves Tammy Abraham, because I mean, it seems to me that there are quite a lot of choices on the table. You know, one, he comes back to Chelsea possibly as the third striker, which means his game time will be limited. And given the fact that he's 19, he needs game time, I would add. Or does he, you know, does he go out on loan to another Premier League club and see what he can do in the Premier League? Does he go to another club in the Championship? Do we sell him? Do we loan him abroad? What do you think we'll do, and what do you think would be best for Tammy Abraham?
Well, I have to be honest, at his age, you look at Patrick Bamford, did exactly the same player of the year, Middlesbrough. When he went there in the Championship, went to Palace, didn't quite work for him, and then got sold back on. You've got to get the experience. Being a third striker is not good. It's not great for an 18, 19-year-old, even 20-year-old. Look at Romelu Lukaku when he came here, as a big money signing. No game time. You know, needed to play to prove himself as a young man. I don't know what Conte's got in his mind, and this is where it's all going to pan out. Who he got in mind as a striker, who's going to be sort of first choice. The first choice, of course, has to perform. If not, the second choice goes in. And whether he's prepared to take a chance with Tammy Abraham or not. And sitting and playing in Chelsea's under-23s is not going to be the answer for the likes of him, especially having proved himself, at Bristol City. And, you look at Izzy Brown as another one. They're okay at Huddersfield as well. These young lads are proving themselves. They've got to continue on the upward curve and continue their development. Any youngster that's going to break through at Chelsea, the manager has to decide he's going to give them a chance. They've got to hit the ground running when they're given that chance. They've got to force the manager's hand. You look at the young lad, Ichi, I can't quite pronounce his name, at Manchester City. When Aguero was out, he scored goals. Aguero come back in and scored goals. He sort of kept him out, but he kept him in and around the squad, and he gave him some game time. Kids have to do it, and they have to do it consistently to take a big name out of the team. It's why John Terry was the legend he is. He took Craig de Boeuf out the side, a French international, and he performed and never stopped performing. Youngsters have to do it. If you're a striker, you've got to get in and score goals and score goals and score goals. That's what you've got to do. For me, Tammy Abraham, looking for another loan. Unless Antonio Conte decides he's going to be second striker. If he is, when he gets the opportunity, you've got to hit the ground running.
I think, very, very wise words. And, if anybody would know, it would be you. And I'm inclined to agree with you. I think, he will find it really hard to break into Chelsea now, even though we don't know what Conte's thinking. But Batshuayi, who, on paper had a far more substantial track record than Tammy Abraham, has got no sniff. And in fact, I think he's probably regressed this year because of that. I think it's really interesting, isn't it? I think a lot of this, is down to just pure blind luck and coincidence. Because if you look at Harry Kane, he was on loan for several years. And then he luckily broke through into the Tottenham team and scored goals, and they stuck with him. I think Marcus Rashford is, you know, you could also say that's it's similar up there at United. So I think a lot of it is just kind of happenstance that they just happen to be at the right place at the right time. But I think right now, you're right. I think Tammy Abraham would benefit from guaranteed game time. So, you know, maybe put him in a you know, a Premier League team, Kerry, on loan, see what he can do in the Premier League. That might be the answer.
Well, that's what happened with Patrick Bamford. You know, people will look at what you do in Premier League clubs. If you go, and Lukaku is now looking at coming back because he went on loan to a Premier League club, albeit ultimately got transferred. This is how it works. And just on the Harry Kane thing, credit to Tottenham and credit to their manager. He did exactly what I said. He came in, scored a couple of goals. Stayed inside, scored a couple of goals. I think they had a fellow, Roberto or someone, £30 million Argentina or something.
Soldado, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Roberto Soldado, yeah. And, you know, Kane went in and scored. This other fellow went back in, didn't score, put Kane on, scored. Forced the hand, and the manager kept faith, and next thing he's one of our own, and, you know, he's become what he's become. But you have to continually do that to get a legend or an established international out of your team. And, you know, that's the only way. There's no other way it's going to happen. Managers' jobs are at risk. Supporters... thoughts and why are you playing a kid when we've got a £30 million striker in? Some think otherwise, but everyone wants to win. If we're winning, no problem. If we're losing or don't get the wins, everything's a problem.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I always get the impression that the supporters pretty much go around the other way. I mean, I think you hear a lot of Chelsea supporters moaning all the time about the lack of opportunities for the youth players. I mean, from my own personal point of view, Kerry, I don't care. You know, if they're good enough, then they'll get a game. If they're not, then they won't. And I mean, I think it was really interesting the point you made about Bamford. You know, I think ultimately it was proven that he wasn't good enough. I mean, okay, he didn't get the chance at Chelsea, but he had plenty of chances to prove himself elsewhere, and it didn't work out. So I don't really care how old they are, but they've got to prove that they're good enough. And these days at Chelsea, you've got to be very, very, very good because this is a club competing for titles and a manager's expected to deliver titles and their job's on the line if they don't. So go on, mate. Yeah, go on.
No, sorry, just a word on the supporters thing. I mean, it's a point of order and a point of argument continually. Some supporters will argue this, and I have heard it. You know, would you be happy with Tammy Abraham leading the attack next year? If the supporters that want the kids to play and they accept that at the start of the season, fine. Then accept it. One or two iffy games, youngster didn't quite perform. Then in comes a big-name international who's got his nose put out of joint, sitting on the bench. There's all sorts of things. Keeping a happy ship? I don't know. And I'm not convinced that you know, supporters moan about not playing the kids. The kid has to convince everyone when he goes in that he's worth his place. It's all very well saying, play Tammy Abraham, play Izzy Brown, play Patrick Bamford, you know? I'm not convinced supporters would accept that. You say that supporters would. If Chelsea's hierarchy said, we're going to develop the kids this year, we're going to see what kids are good enough. We put a lot of money into the youth structure here, into the academy and so on. And we're going to play some of these kids on a regular basis. So don't be expecting big-name signings. I just wonder what the supporters' reaction would be. I think at the start it would be favourable. And then once again, it will come down to results.
Yeah. Spot on, mate. I think exactly that. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. And I think they'll cry for the youth. And the minute the youth don't deliver, they'll be moaning because they're not winning stuff. And I think actually a lot of this, you know, we are in such a different time now. I mean, in your day, we brought a lot of players through, didn't we? And also bought a lot of players who'd come down from lower leagues and, you know, nobody expected them to do anything and it turned out different. But look at where we were. The same in the mid-70s when Eddie McCready's team, a lot of youth players made the grade there. But look where they were. They're in the second division. You know, this is a club now that is not just expected to win the FA Cup and the Premier League here, but is expected to go out and do really well in Europe next year. It's a very, very different world and a very, very different club. And I think that makes it tougher for the youth. It's very unfortunate, but there you go. Kerry, we should wrap up this week because we've got the whole weekend to look forward to before Monday night. I presume you're going to be at the match.
Yes, I am.
Good stuff. Well, look, you enjoy it on Monday night. I know that I will be. I'm going to have a nice old, good old weekend in London to build up to it, and I shall be pumped up for it on Monday, as I always am. And you and I will be discussing it again next Thursday, and looking forward to the West Brom match the day after. So it's all kind of getting crammed in, isn't it, at the end of the season? But anyway, we'll look forward to that as a matter of fact. Anyway, mate, it's been brilliant talking to you as always. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend and enjoy the match on Monday.
Thanks very much, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.